Pacifica radio station in New York City. That is WBAI, and you're tuned to 99.5 FM. This is The Morning Show with Michael G. Haskins and Christy Thornton.
This weekend, the UN Conference on Climate, known as COP20, wrapped up in Lima, Peru. Diplomats from 190 nations had been gathered for more than 10 days in that city to discuss a draft treaty on global climate action that is to be finalized at another gathering in Paris, scheduled for next year. But the scope of the treaty left many disappointed. The Union of Concerned Scientists called the deal, quote, the bare minimum needed. And Oxfam International said the decisions made in Lima do not foreclose the possibility of an agreement in Paris, but do little to improve the odds of success. Joining us now to discuss what happened in Lima and what we can expect moving forward is Alexander Reed Ross, an organizer and journalist based in Portland, Oregon, currently working with Global Justice for Animals and the Environment. Alex, good morning. Thanks for being with us so early.
Thank you for having me.
Also on the line from Lima is journalist and cartoonist Carlos Bernales, who was at the People's Alternative Climate Summit in Lima. Carlos, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for the interview.
So first, Alex, let's start with the basics. What was actually achieved this weekend at the Conference of Parties, as the summit is known? It seems like the developed and developing countries came to the conference with wildly different goals. What was the compromise that was made in the end?
Well, let me tell you first.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's just hear from Alex first, Carlos, and then we'll come right to you.
Oh, sure. I think Carlos can answer this one a little better than I can because he's been there on the ground. Just in my opinion, reading the reports that I've read, the compromise was pretty unsatisfying for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There is not a lot of binding language. In fact, no binding language, no demands for people, countries rather, to actually name the steps that they're taking to decrease emissions. And above all, people are walking away saying this seems really familiar. It's exactly what happened in COP15 and other conference of parties where they wait until the last minute, they hammer out some agreement that nobody's really happy with, and then they act like it's a tremendous victory for global capitalism.
So, Carlos, I wonder what your impression was there from Lima, and maybe you can also talk about the significance in your view of holding this conference in Peru. Of course, Peru has been the site of strong resistance to extractive industrial development, and those uh-huh. resisting have often paid the price with their lives. So I wonder what your view of the results are and how Peruvians and other Latin Americans are reacting today.
First of all, we have to say that this is a continuation of 19 years of lies. Mm. This COP20 is after COP19 in Brussels, Poland, that only created a task force to reduce greenhouse produce of toxic gases emitted by the productivism. But this agreement doesn't happen, doesn't do anything in 1 year. And now they are preparing in this event a secret document for the COP21 in Paris. Mm-hmm. Why secret? Why, as the TPP and other international trade agreements in which they agree about the needs of the people? This is hypocrisy only. They want to give us feel guilty of their destructive work. But they and the people governments are the real guilt. Mm. In the case of Peru, where the corporation achieved a government law from Ollanta Humala to reduce the requirements for environment defense under the blackmail that if the government doesn't do anything to reduce the requirements, they will not do any investment. We are speaking from a country where 83% of the Amazonian has been concessionated to the mining corporations that do not mine the way the people lives, the native people lives in that land. Mm-hmm. So, all I can say is that this COP20 has only served to the Peruvian government to expend $90 million for the tourism of the these groups that went to Peru only for tourism, nothing else.
So we're joined here by Carlos Bernales on the line from Lima, Peru. We apologize for the poor quality of that line, but it's important to have his perspective there from Lima. Going back to Alex, Alex, you recently wrote in a piece published on The Ecologist, since the Kyoto Protocol emerged from the 1992 International UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, environmentalists have looked to international institutions like the Conference of Parties for global solutions to climate change. They have found only disempowerment and a deepening crisis. Why is that?
Well, it's because the processes themselves are disingenuous. They're fully involved in the greed of a growing elite, or at least their money is growing, an oligarchy, really. And they give platitudes for environmentalists to continue lobbying through environmental NGOs, which take a lot of money and a lot of power and a lot of space. And what those environmental agreements do is they just sort of provide an outlet and they're not enforced. If you take Peru, Peru is a perfect example. The Peru Free Trade Agreement was championed by Nancy Pelosi and Charlie Rangel and the Democratic leadership in 2008 and 2009, and it was passed by Obama because it had these environmental and labor statutes. But then the year it was passed, in 2009, there was a massacre of indigenous peoples in the Amazon who were trying to prevent the invasion of their land by loggers directly after and incumbent on, consequential to, the Peru Free Trade Agreement. And the conference that people aren't paying attention to right now is the secretive Trans-Pacific Partnership, in which Peru is again a member, that is taking, or that was taking place rather, in Washington, D.C., at the same time as the Conference of Parties in Peru. And this is the real secret agenda. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is secret. It hasn't been released to the public. That is taking place underneath and in between the lines of the Conference of Parties, and it has to do with these kinds of weird carbon markets where you're free to pollute as long as you have the money to cover it up, the global land grab where agricultural land is being swept away from indigenous peoples all over the world and transferred to monocrops for the profit of the investment bankers that grabbed the housing market from underneath middle America. So the real agenda is hidden.
So maybe, Alex, I want to get both of you back in here. We just have just a few minutes left for this segment. But Alex, first I'll ask you, Alex, and then I'll come back to Carlos in Lima. What are the next steps, really, for climate activists after this and in the lead up to the Paris Agreement? Alex, what will organizers here in the United States be pushing for as we move towards Paris?
That's a really good question. Really quick, the group I work with, Global Justice for Animals and the Environment, had a protest on the 10th outside of the Peru consulate with Peruvian activists who are facing a tremendous amount of repression from the police, you know, to have their voices foregrounded. And that's really what the environmental movement needs to do, is foreground the voices of indigenous peoples and small farmers around the world who are being downtrodden by this system, and to fight for our own rights here as well. In the Pacific Northwest, for example, the people standing up against gas exports, coal and oil exports, and the extractionist agenda here in the U.S. And then lastly, I think really contacting your representatives in Congress and telling them not to approve Fast Track. You can do that through our website, gjae.org-leg.
That's great. And Carlos, on the line from Lima, Peru, what will your comrades in Latin America and the rest of the Global South be pushing for as we move towards the Paris end of these negotiations?
Well, my surprise was that when I was in the meeting about this event, the people there create Cumbre Alternativa,
right.
Alternative Summit. And they organize first some few organizations, especially in very motivated in young people. And then in a week, there were around hundreds of organizations supporting this group.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they came from Mexico, Chile, Argentina, and after everything, we are very happy because these organizations awake a youth movement to answer all the problems created for the capitalism. And now, in this moment, we are preparing a new event after the events of the new year for do something in the way to organize the people for our general answer.
That's great. We have been.
And this is very important because if the event, the COP20, says that it's to make us guilty for the destruction of the planet, we are preparing another answer for this. And this is very important.
Absolutely.
They awake a youth movement. Uh-huh. This is the most important thing.
That's great. So that is, we have been speaking to Carlos Bernales, who has been attending the People's Alternative Climate Summit in Lima, Peru, concurrent with the COP20 summit that just wrapped up this weekend. Also on the line with us has been Alexander Reed Ross of Global Justice for Animals and the Environment. I want to thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And, of course, we will continue to follow the negotiations surrounding climate and the Trans-Pacific Partnership moving forward here on the WBAI Morning Show.
Past the hour of 6 o'clock here in New York City at 99.5 FM WBAI. Michael G. Haskins and Christy Thornton. This is the new morning show. Thanks for joining us this morning.